All right, here we are. What's up? Welcome to Blondes, Books, and Campfire Tales. I am one of your hosts, Bethany Stutzman. We have got Michelle, Crystal Michelle.
Reverse that.
I didn't realize, like, on my screen, you're this way. But you're actually this way on that screen.
Yes. I'm sure I'm pointing the wrong direction.
Blondes, Books, and Campfire Tales.
And we're starting off with a blonde moment.
Exactly. That's how we roll. All right. Well, how are you doing today, Crystal?
Oh my gosh. I'm good. I'm trying to get caught up with work stuff because I'm actually going to go visit my my sister and my family this weekend. And my sister and I are going to go see Lizzo.
Like in person?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you'll be getting all the Snapchats from the concert.
Yes, please. Yes, please. And Snapchats are, I have a love-hate relationship with Snapchat because I love how easy it is to take video and make yourself look good. But at the same time, you can't save it. So yes, I never have those memories. I mean, you can, but the other person knows. And then.
Oh, like, well, I just save stuff before I send it.
Okay, but I can't save your thing.
Well, if you save my thing, I will not judge you.
Well, I know you won't judge me, but other people judge me. you have to be careful.
I'm like, as long as I'm not sending you a picture of me, like, in my undies, which I don't know why I would send that to you.
I mean, I'm pretty sure it probably happened at some point.
I mean, you've seen me in my undies.
I have. That's our After Midnight episode, folks.
No, I'm just right? Next time on After Midnight, Blondes, Books, and Campfire Tales. Oh, God.
All right. Well, as my dad's like, hey, send me the link. I'm like, hey, Dad.
I've seen Crystal in her undies.
Oh, my goodness.
But how was your day?
My day was interesting. We'll get to our topic in just a second. But have you guys ever had like a super... or what you think is an embarrassing day at work and you just go over it in your head all the time?
Only a million different times. Yeah.
Yeah. So not a shocker. I work in retail management, right? And I work in operations. Okay. And what's up, Stacy? How you doing? Yay for Lizzo.
Hi, Stacy.
So anyway, I work in retail operations and basically I do like inventory and counting and like when our truck shipment comes in, that's why Wednesdays I'm like super out of it because I'm up at 4 a.m. doing truck stuff.
Understandable.
And today we had our brand new district manager coming to visit us, like brand spanking new district manager. And she was touring all the stores. Ours was one of the stores. And she was coming with our old district manager and like our field business leader. I think that's her title. She's super awesome. She's so adorable. She loves horror. So her and I talk horror whenever she shows up. So I love her.
Right away.
Yeah. But anyway, basically it's like a corporate visit and hard to explain my role in the management team. You have like the general manager and then you have like the other managers and then you have like me. I am my only manager in my little like third tier role. Okay.
Okay.
And I love it because I've been a GM before and like, it's just not the life for me. Yeah, but here before. I am in my third tier role. Okay. I can pretty much say what I want and kind of do what I want. And like, no one really judges me because they don't expect much from me.
Which I think that's actually a good position to be in, honestly.
It is a very good position. I'm like, for someone who's just like living their life, this is fine for me right now.
I get it.
But yeah, so here I am. I have been up since 2:30 in the morning. And of course I'm doing my makeup at 2:30 in the morning when I don't normally do it because I know that at like 11 a.m. my new district manager is coming in and I have to look presentable.
Yeah.
So like I'm semi-presentable, but by that time I've done truck, I'm sweaty, I'm hot. I've got like thing like product that has exploded all over me. So I look like, you know, I've got like tanner on me. I've got like scrub on me. I've got some like goop. I'm like something from Mary, or you know, where I got like goop in my hair.
Oh, there's something
on Mary? Yes.
Like straight up bangs going.
Yes, I've got like random stuff in my hair and I tried to do a braid real quick and I got hair sticking out. And then all the other managers show up and they're beautiful. they're just dressed to the nines, beautiful. And I'm like this ragged
2:30.
Yes. Like hauling boxes, sweating. And I'm not like a pretty sweating person. I'm like red faced, sweating. Like I'm bad. And so
it's the pale thing, because I'm the same way.
Yes. Yeah.
And like I stand outside in the sun for 5 minutes and I'm bright red and people think I'm about to pass out. And I'm like, I'm just pale.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, I come in vanilla and strawberry. There is no golden color for me. So finally, literally at like the last minute when I'm about to leave, they stop by and I'm like, of course, right when I'm about to leave. And I know if I don't introduce myself, my general manager is going to be like, you left me alone, you know? So, yeah. So here everyone is dressed to the nines. One of our managers even got her hair done. So she's like, perfect.
Always that one person. Always.
Exactly. And so Stacy's all, oh, hail us, the pale goddess.
Stacy's pale too. She knows what's going on.
I love this.
You're pale, there's no tanning.
There's no, no.
There's no glowing after a workout.
No, no. And like, we don't glisten. We sweat like hogs. Like that's what we look like. We're so bad. So here I am just looking horrible because it's the end of an 8-hour shift doing my truck shipment when everyone looks beautiful and I'm about to leave and I'm just done at this point. And I just walk up to her and I was like, hi, I'm Bethany. Nice to meet you. I just, you know, I'm headed out, but I just want to make sure that I was able to introduce myself, you know, hello. And then my manager is like, oh, well, the floor is all yours. And I'm like,
I wasn't ready for a speech.
No. And like, Crystal, you know me. Like, my parents have always put me in the position to like entertain people. And I'm pretty good at that. Yeah. Like, I'm pretty good at just jumping in and taking charge and entertaining. Not today. Like, nothing. There was nothing going on up here. And you know what I did? I did a little jig. Like, I tapped it.
No, that sounds 100% like exactly what I would expect you to do. I
know. She was like, here's my manager, Bethany. And I was like, da-da, da-da, da-da. Like.
No, that reminds me. That literally reminds me of a job interview, okay? Mm-hmm. And a job that I'm really glad I didn't get. Honestly, it was just a serving job. It is the weirdest interview ever. And one of the things was they had you go stand in front of three managers. You had no warning. You're just standing in front of three managers and they say, do something for 90 seconds. And I was like, and I was like, so once there was a princess, like, I don't even know what I did. I just like, and it was lame and it was horrible. It was awful. I literally just stood there for 30 seconds before I reacted. And then afterwards they come out and they start talking. They're like, yeah, a lot of people will go and they'll do raps and they'll do dances. And I'm like, I'm a performer. I've been in performance arts my entire mm-hmm. life, like dance, baton, color guard, theater. I've done all of it. Like, choir, like all, like just to be like with, I'm in a job interview. I'm supposed to be displaying my bartending skills and you're asking me to perform with no warning. And I think that's one of the few interviews I did not get a job offer on. And I was really happy because I was like, I was really happy because I would have turned them down. And I was like, I've never turned down a job before. How do you do that?
Well, maybe that's why. You just weren't destined for it.
I wasn't. So glad. So glad I did not get that job. And I actually got offered my current job like a week later. So.
Well, that's good. That worked out. Well, and like, I feel like mine got a little worse too, because it was like after I did my little tap dancing jig, you know?
Yeah.
Londa says hi.
Hi, Londa.
But after I did my little tap dancing thing, then I was like, oh, well, you know, I was in the, you know, salon industry for 20 years and I managed the Spirit Halloween store. And then I forgot the name of the other job that I worked at. I was like, and I was a manager at you know, Go Games. That's not the name of it. I stole calendars. I don't know where games came from. And they're like, games, tell us calendars? About your, exactly. And they're, yeah. And they're all, tell us about your job. And I was like, oh, well, I, you know, I do inventory and I count stuff. I'm like, I like to count. And then I said nothing after that. And my job's like, oh yeah, because she's an accountant. And I was like, not very good because I'm working here.
I'm dying.
And then nobody laughed. And I just like melted back into the bathroom. And I just walked away. I didn't say anything.
This story just keeps getting better. I can't handle all this laughter.
Oh my gosh. So okay. I had to share that.
Okay. I'm glad you did. Oh my goodness.
But you know, the perk is I work in retail management. So if I lose my job tomorrow, I have plenty of opportunities.
You have a good resume.
I do.
You know, once we're a manager
at Go Games,
apparently it's called Go Games.
Oh my goodness. So anyway.
I mean, the other day I was driving by a farm and there was a cow that was suckling on its mom's udders, and that was really cute. That's something exciting that happened at my job. It wasn't embarrassing like your story, but you know, I was pretty excited about that. It was pretty adorable.
I love the support. I appreciate you.
You know.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, you know, I did give you my interview story. That was pretty embarrassing.
You did. I'm sure we've all had stories like that. Look at my dad. Moo.
I mean, that's pretty much what I said. I said, moo, it's adorable. It was just really cute. They were the fluffy cows, too.
Oh, those are really cute.
Yeah. You know. Aww. Anyway.
Oh, blonde's books and campfire tales.
Yeah. And stories of embarrassment.
Exactly. Stacey says baby cows will always be the highlight of my day.
It's true. Oh, they will be. I agree.
You know, where's Mike at? We normally have Mike on this show.
I think he would have really enjoyed those stories too.
He probably would. He's going to listen back and he'd be like, oh, I could have commented. Well, tonight we're going to talk about slumber party games and campfire, or not campfire, but like camp games and stuff.
Yeah.
Have you gone to camp, Crystal? Did you ever go to a camp?
Like camping or a camp?
Well, like a camp with other kids that you would play these games with.
Once in high school, I went to a church camp once.
Wait, which church? It wasn't our church, was it?
Yeah, it was. It was like a...
What?
Yeah, it was... It was over winter break.
How come I didn't go?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure Denise went.
Okay. I totally don't remember that.
Yeah, it was our junior year.
Yeah, nothing.
I mean, it was the semester that I was severely injured. I couldn't do anything. Remember, I stepped in a hole.
That was a lot of semesters. What'd you do?
It was the time I stepped in a hole and was on crutches for 2 months.
Oh, yes. And you were dating that one of our friends.
If you want to call it that. I mean,
he kind of dated like all of us. But and he got you like a whole bunch of roses, but you weren't serious about him. And he was like, or you were like,
I was never. The whole reason, oh my gosh, this is like not where I expected this conversation to go, but the whole reason that we were ever quote unquote dating was because I stepped in that hole. Because, because a band camp story. Here you go, you guys. One time at band camp. So this one time at band camp, junior year, this little freshman was like hitting on me. And everybody was like, you should date him. And I was like, ha, 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 and whatever, just trying to be nice. And then he asked me out. But gosh, speaking of embarrassing stories. So we're at this college. At the end of the day, everybody's extremely sweaty. It's this huge, like, mad dash to the showers. Oh, my gosh. And I'm telling this and your dad's watching. Oh, my gosh. Dan, please cover your ears for 30 seconds. So I run, take a shower, and everybody's like, he wants to talk to you. Go downstairs and talk to him. So I'm in my pajamas, which happens to be a white t-shirt, wet hair, no bra, and they drag me down to the dorm lobby. And I'm like, I got to talk to you about this in the morning. I don't want to talk to you about this right now. So we go back. And the next morning, oh, and so is your mom. She's, hi, mom. And on the way, the next day was the day we were actually leaving. On the way to the buses, I step in a hole. Don't step in holes, people. Just don't do it. Step in a hole, go down, sprain my ankle, almost tear the tendon all the way through. Like, not all the way through. So then everybody else gets on the bus. I get stuck on the van that was the overflow, and all those kids got stuck with me while they took me to the what's it called?
Like urgent care or?
No, the infirmary on campus.
Oh, gotcha.
And they were like, oh, just drive back to Tucson. It's fine, because by the time you see somebody in the ER here, you could have driven back to Tucson and gotten to the ER there. Which the Healthcare ER doctor in Tucson was not very happy about when we finally got there. So then the van gets back to the school like quite a bit after the buses. I step off the van and there he is with his mom. And he's like, mom, this is my girlfriend. And I was like, I need to find my dad. I have to go to the hospital.
And you guys weren't even really dating.
We never went on a date. The only time we ever saw each other was at school, at band practice. And I was just like trying to figure out a way to like, and I'm not even sure why I was still going to band practice. I couldn't march. I was on crutches, but I was.
They instilled fear in us in band practice. If you didn't show up to practice, like,
yeah,
you were terrified you wouldn't be part of band anymore.
I mean, they still had a spot. I mean, 2 months later, when I could finally march again, I just like hopped right into line and was doing my stuff. So it was helpful. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to get caught up. So, and I was just like, how do I tell him this? And I couldn't figure out a tactful way to say it. And then one day he shows up to band practice with like 2 dozen red roses. And I was like, dude, you can't do this. Like, I've been stuck in this awkward situation, not knowing what to do. No. And then everybody's like, you're a bitch. And I was like, I'm sorry. I've been trying to figure out how not to be a bitch. And I just kept failing. Anyway.
No. Well, isn't that part of a, you know, sleepover? We tell stories like
this. It is. That's very true. That is something we would do at sleepover. So tell me about the time that you accidentally quasi dated somebody. But that's how I ended up. I got really, like, I couldn't do a lot of things. So I got really involved in, like, youth group and was doing church stuff, like, so much stuff, which was great. And so they were like, oh, we're going to have camp. And I was like, okay.
Stacy says Crystal's the heartbreaker of band camp.
Well, I don't know about that. Maybe his, but
oh yeah. Sorry, dude.
Bygones can be got bygones, right?
Yep, there you go.
Yeah, so that's the one time, that's the really long story about the one time that I went to a camp. But we played. I mean, yeah, we did play some games.
Yeah.
That we'll talk about. I'm like, okay. I feel like I just rambled on for like 10 minutes about something that. Yeah.
It's okay. We had to fill the time. So there's only so much you can talk about the games.
Yeah. But what about you in camp?
The only camp I remember doing was fifth grade camp, and it was like 3 days.
Oh, I forgot about fifth grade camp. I did that too.
Yeah. So it was like a fifth grade camp out sleepover. And the only thing I remember was going into the, like, I forgot who it was. Someone told me about panty raid, where you would like raid the other cabin for the panties and stuff. But like, I was the girl. So you can't really raid boy panties. Like, I mean, you could, but
I don't think really you find want
them.
To though.
Yeah. At that time, you didn't really find them. And I just remember going into with these girls into another camp. And not a camp, but like a camp house.
And the cabin. Yeah.
Yeah. The cabin. And the boys were gone. And I just remember pulling out their, like finding their underwear. Cause like no one took it serious. Like they told me like, you go and get the underwear. That's what you do. And you like hang it up on the flagpole and stuff. So I was like, oh yeah, I can totally do that. But then nobody was looking for the underwear. They were just looking at the guy stuff. And I was like, but like, here's the underwear. And then I was the freak. Like, I didn't understand it.
You're like, wasn't that the point of us coming in here?
Exactly. I was like, I'm very good when you give me an assignment. Okay, I will do it. But then, like, you know, some of the underwear was dirty. And that's when I discovered that men were gross. So, yeah.
With having older brothers, I'm surprised it took you till fifth grade.
Well, I didn't really rummage through their dirty laundry.
I mean, okay, true. Fair.
So I don't know. Oh, what's up, Mike? Mike joined in late to the party. I got here eventually. Hello.
Hi, Mike. You missed all the stories.
Man, you gotta like go back and rewatch because we got some embarrassing tales going on.
Yeah, campfire tales tonight. You know, that's what you do around the campfire. You tell all your embarrassing stories.
But yeah, no, we did the I guess like boxer raid. It's not really panty raid. But that was kind of it. Then I remember making friendship bracelets, like, and tie-dye shirts. Like, that was all we did. But we had some pretty good slumber parties. Like, I remember we did Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board.
Which, oh my gosh, that one time we got Sarah all the way up.
Yes. Yes. And Sarah wasn't even, like our skinniest friend, too. So, like, we actually did lift her up. Like, we were pretty excited.
But the reason it worked, and actually... like the reason it worked is because she was so stiff. That's literally the reason why it doesn't work most of the time, is because whoever is being lifted is like they're, because I mean, all of us had like what, three fingers underneath her.
Well, why don't you go ahead and just explain Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board for people who don't know that one?
Yeah. So if you're not familiar with Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, this is a game that's going back to at least the 1600s. Literally, that's the first mention of it in any literature. It was Joseph Pepys wrote about it, and he said that he heard about it from a friend who saw some young girls playing this. And there is some like speculation, it's not confirmed, but there's some speculation that the reason kids were playing games like this was because of the plague, because death was surrounding them the whole time, and they would you know, there's always different ways to play it, but like one of the popular versions is to be like, oh, look, this person's dead. She looks dead. She's dying. And you start talking about how dead they look before you start the Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board chant. And so that's kind of one of the speculations about it. But again, that's just, it's kind of like a 400-year-old rumor. So, yeah.
400-year-old rumor.
You know. Some rumors just never go away.
No,
you
know? Not for 400 years.
Yeah. And so the whole thing is you have one person who's the dead person, and they lay on the floor with their arms crossed, and you have everybody around them in a circle, And you have the lead person who starts the chant, and they'll tell a story about how, oh, this person died or is dead, looks dead. And people start repeating like, oh, she looks dead, she's dying. And then you start the chant, the light is a feather, stiff as a board. So you just chant that over and over. Everybody places, depending on how you do it, like one, two, or three fingers underneath, and you lift them up. So there's no levitation involved. It's not the craft. That's, but it can fail a lot because the person that is laying there literally has to be stiff as a board. Cause it's not like you're just like getting your hands up in there and just like lifting them up. And it's hard to do that. It's really hard to be that stiff. And the whole chanting, I think, is supposed to kind of get you in that mindset. But yeah, so with our friend Sarah, she was the stiffest person I've ever seen. Sounds so weird. Not in real life, but you know. And so she stayed really stiff and we lifted her all the way up. I think she hit the fan and we were like, oh, maybe this is not good.
Oh gosh. Not quite but, a fan like, level, but she was pretty high.
Yeah. Like we, cause we all started down on the ground and we ended up standing up and we got her all the way up there. And it really is just about having like enough people. I think it works best if you have at least four people lifting.
Yeah.
And then if you have a dead person that is actually able to control their body and keep it that stiff, cause the moment they go limp, you're going to drop them. Like, so that's light as a feather, stiff as a board. And that was our most successful time that we ever played it.
Yep. And then playing off that is the game, The Sandman.
Yes. Love that one.
I think we all love that one. Cause it was like, before you could get a massage, like you played the game Sandman and it was kind of like,
I never thought of it that way, but that's true. And why don't you tell people that don't know about The Sandman?
Yeah. I don't know how far back it goes because I did not research that.
Yeah, I tried to and I could not find anything on it, actually. I
was like
in a couple places, but I could not find any.
I was just excited to find a title for it because I don't think we even knew the title when we did it. We just did it when we were kids.
Yeah.
But yeah, Londa says she didn't know that one. When I tell it, you might know it. But basically what it is you have like light as a feather, stiff as a board. You have someone in the center. And you have everyone around them. And you normally want to have it like really dark. You want like candlelight, maybe some flashlights. You want it very dark, which is like very.
Oh, yeah. Same as light. And I don't think I mentioned that part on light as a feather, stiff as a board. You do want to do it in a dark room.
Yeah. Sorry. Classic slumber party game. It needs to be dark with candlelight because that's the only way that these games work.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So basically what you do is you talk, like you tell this story about like you're on a beach and you're lying on a beach, you know, and then I didn't realize how graphic you got to like literally just now how graphic we got, but like as teenagers, we didn't care.
Well, and I was thinking about it earlier today, actually. And I was like, that was actually really graphic, but it never seemed graphic at the time.
Yeah. Literally as I'm talking right now, I'm all ding. I'm like, oh, that's pretty graphic. So basically the premise, knowing this now as an adult, I'm like, oh, my kids never play this. You have the person laying in the ground and you have everyone around him and you tell the story of that. You're like, you're on the beach and you decide to get very tired and you lay down on the sand and it's nice and warm and you feel very comfortable and you make the person very relaxed, very comfortable on the sand. And this heat from the sun is just making you very comfortable. And basically what we do is we cut open your leg and then you have someone like trace down their leg. And then you go and you open up and you kind of go like this. And then you take everything out, take all the bones and everything out, which to as teenagers were like totally normal, right? As adults, we're like, this is concerning.
yeah. So we totally come out. That's totally fine.
You take everything out. And then what you do is you take that warm sand, that nice, warm, comfortable sand that makes you feel safe, and you just fill it up and you fill it up and you fill that leg up. And then you sew the leg up. And the person who's on the leg duty, like they're all like suturing your leg.
You they're know? Literally touching the person this entire time.
Yes. Yeah. And it feels so good because you're like, oh, like it's relaxing. I do feel warm and comfortable and safe.
And you're also getting a temple massage the whole time.
Yes. Someone is next to you like rubbing your head. Like when you were the Sandman, that was like epic of just slumber parties when you could be the Sandman. Yeah. And they would so do relaxing. That on Yeah, and they would do that on all, both legs and then on both your arms. And I think you did like the chest too, and then like across the head.
Yep.
I think is what you did. And once you got to the head, you're like asleep. Like you're so comfortable. And then the whole point after that is for everyone to try to lift you up. But no, no one can. You
just lift yourself up on that one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. You try to lift yourself up and you can't because you're like loaded in sand. It's like a whole psychological thing. So you can't lift yourself up.
And like, I don't know how many times I was the Sandman. I mean, we did that. I think we played that at every slumber party we ever had. Yeah,
because everyone wanted to be the Sandman.
Yeah. So, and like never, like I couldn't even lift my head. And then like you kind of go back through it and do it in reverse. So you get everything back in there.
Yep.
And then you kind of do like, I'm sorry, I took over your storytelling. I didn't mean to.
No, it totally works. You're good. You're good. Cause I forgot about that part. I just, yeah. I think cause I passed out and I just fell asleep and I didn't remember the rest.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So you go back through and they take all the sand out and put everything else back in. And then they stop and then they're like, and now you're awake and now you can go back about your day and like snap. And then you could always get right back up. Landa. Yes. Landa, play it. I don't care how old you are. You will be relaxed.
Yes. It is. Oh my gosh. Relaxing.
And it's just, it's such a mental thing. It's really, it's almost, it's like kind of hypnotic and it's just really cool.
A bit touchy feely. I don't.
Yeah. I guess, I mean, girls are probably a little bit more touchy feely than guys, but guys probably missed out not doing that one on each other.
That was very relaxing. Now, as girls, we were like, let's do our hair and our makeup and give me a massage and all this. And we were always touching each other. Well, yeah. No, we were always like innocently because we wanted to like have our hair played with and, and apparently have our everything ripped out and sand put into us. So,
yeah, you know, just fill my body with sand.
Exactly. Classic, classic.
And then one that I feel like goes along with the Sandman is the airplane crash one. Do you remember that one?
Is that the one where you lift your arms up?
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Go for
it. Yeah. So
in this, I haven't heard it called airplane, but.
Oh, I mean, well, yeah, that makes sense. But so for those of you that don't know on this one, this is another one I couldn't find. I mean, some of this stuff, it just kind of happens like organically. Who knows where it starts? So this is another one of those. And you can do it with two people. You have one person that is like the crash victim. This is so morbid.
You don't realize this stuff when you're doing it. And then when we tell it later, everyone's like, you guys are crazy. But you guys watch us. You're all crazy.
So the victim lays face down on the ground, just completely stretched out. And the other person will like lift them up by their hands. So they're just kind of dangling. So their upper torso is off the ground and they're just kind of dangling by their arms and the person's holding them and talks them through again, a story about, and of course you're in a dark room and you have your eyes closed and they talk them through the story about you're in a plane and you're flying over the ocean and they might kind of like do like some plane motions and kind of move you around a little bit. And then you're going through it and then the engine fails and the plane's crashing and you just keep going down, down, down. And as you're going down and crashing and getting closer to the ocean, they lower your arms and just probably because of like the blood rushing down your arms and leaving that, like as it goes, it feels like your arms are going through the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And so it feels, yeah. So it's a weird sensation and it really adds to the whole, oh, the plane's crashing. And then of course, as soon as your arms hit the ground, you're like, oh, okay. They didn't go, my arms are not all the way down lower
exactly
than everything else.
Like you feel like your arms are up, but your arms are actually up, but you feel like your arms are like way down here. Like it's such a weird sensation.
Yeah. They're like even with your face, but it feels like they're way up here. Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder how many people are going to go try this tonight.
I suggest everybody go try it. It's a fun time.
Like someone who's never seen the show and they're all like, Hey honey, can you do this to me? And they're like, okay. And you're like, oh my God, it feels like it.
Just trust me. It's really cool. We'll take turns and do it
like a plane crash.
I just want to walk through a plane crash. About it. It's not weird. I swear. There's nothing weird about it. It's just a plane crash.
Except for it is very weird because we're part of the Weird Realities podcast.
All right. That's fair. It's weird in that way.
But yeah, no, we'll definitely keep talking about some games. I have a list. I'm sure Crystal has a list. But if you guys know of any games that you want to talk about, definitely put them in the comments and yeah. We'll talk about those too. If we need to Google it, we got this. We got Google.
Yeah, we got Google. Yeah, we've got Google. So what's another one that you have on your list?
I have Capture the Flag, and that's more of a camp game. Yes. Oh, yeah. And there's so many variations of Capture the Flag, which I think is fun. And so many things happen during Capture the Flag that I feel like happen. Because if you think about it, you get a group of teenagers in the woods with two adults as supervision, okay? If that, all right?
Yeah, if that.
And you just let them loose in the woods and you're like, go get the flag. Those teenagers are not going to go get the flag. They're going to go find other stuff to do in the woods that they should not be doing. And I think that is what the spirit of Capture the Flag is.
It's more about debauchery.
Yeah. But yes, exactly. The only person that captured the flag was someone like me who was like, you gave me a mission and I got you. Like, I will get that flag. I had no clue what else was going on in the woods.
I mean, that was me too, though. I was always more about capturing the flag. I think maybe I missed out on some things. Yep.
Although Mike has a good one. Put a hand in the bowl of warm water and see what happens. That is on my list.
To somebody that's sleeping, right?
Yes. Yeah, there's so many things. Like being at a sleepover and like a camp, basically you learn that...
nobody's trustworthy.
Yeah, you cannot trust anyone. And if you are the first person to fall asleep, you're screwed. Like everything will happen to you.
Person.
Yeah. anywhere from if you wore bras, then your bra was put in the freezer. That was enough.
After it was soaked in water.
Yes. Yes. I forgot.
It can't just be cold. It has to be actually frozen.
Yeah. I never did that because I was the one who always fell asleep.
Yeah. No. So I feel like I got that one unfairly because speaking of panty raids, when my brother would have friends over and they'd sleep over, they would like raid my room while I was out doing something else and like steal my panties and my bra, and my brother's friends were freezing my underwear. And I'm like, well, that's just not fair. Like, who said you guys could do that? You're supposed to freeze each other's underwear. So they thought it was
you're not supposed to bring other people in.
like, I'm not part of this. Why are you including me?
Sorry, I suddenly got a message from one of my employees. She's like, I can't find this box that you're looking for. So if I seem a little distracted, I'm trying to message her and be like, oh, it's right here. Like, send me a picture and I'll circle it. Yeah, that's the joy of being a third tier manager. You get text messages.
You know, it happens. It happens.
Yeah. I don't know. And there's always, if you fall asleep first, then you're the person that you would put like whipped cream or shaving cream on the hand. And then you like tickle their face with the
feather. Did that
sometimes. Stacey, yes. Friends go hard and all bets are off.
Yeah, I would agree. Nobody will mess with you more than your best friend.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. And I think you all, like every friend group has that one friend that you always play the pranks on. And for some reason, that friend is still your friend. You don't know why. Because you always do all the stuff to them.
And it's like, there's no real reason why it's that person. Nobody dislikes that person. Everybody likes that person. But they're just somehow the easy one to play the pranks on.
Okay. To be fair, the person that Crystal and I are talking about, we will not say her name, but, my employee is just like going way off the bar right here. I may have to take a second to like, let her know what's going on because she's at work right now. Okay. Real quick. The friend that we are referencing, I don't know how to say this without getting canceled. When she asked when I tried to explain to her what a cracker was at that time. Okay. That white people are considered crackers at that time. Okay. During that time, this was appropriate. She asked if she could be saltine because everybody loves saltine crackers. It just whoosh. So this is the friend that that we reference in all of our stories.
Not all of them, but
most of them. Majority. The ones where we basically do something to someone else, that's who the person
you're making us sound horrible. Like
we're not horrible friends. We stood up for her on many occasions. Okay. We earned that right to do this stuff on slumber parties. I'm so sorry. I have to call my employee real quick. I'm so sorry. Give me like 30 seconds.
I'm going to be counting it down.
Look, Stacy says she has a friend, and Mike, he goes, trust me, you don't want to put any dudes underwear.
I definitely think
I'm going to let you on that. I'm going to call my employee real quick.
All right.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Mike, I think you have a good point on that. Because sometimes even when a guy's underwear is supposedly clean, it's not always actually clean. So, but I don't think that means that my underwear should have been fair game to my brothers. Well, it was really just one of my brothers that did that. But anyway, and then let's see. So, Capture the Flag was a good camp game, and I really hope Bethany hurries up on her phone call, because I feel like I'm talking to myself right now, so I apologize, you guys. But I think other camp games that went along with Capture the Flag was, I think one of my favorites was King of the Mountain, where you always found like a big giant rock, and somebody was king of the mountain, and you literally just threw each other off the rock, hoping not to like do any injuries, just so that you could be the final person up there and be king of the mountain. And that was my favorite. I like a quasi violence that you don't get in trouble for. That sounds really weird. Don't judge me, you guys. Okay. But if we go back to, I know we're going back and forth a lot, back to slumber parties. Truth or Dare, this is one that I was able to find. Stacey, I can't make your comment show up, but yes, that was a brutal game. It was my favorite game, though, especially if you were playing King of the Mountain in a pool, because then you were just being thrown into the pool. So that's always a good time. But another slumber party game that could also be played at a campsite, Truth or Dare. This one goes back really far as well. Oh. I didn't realize how far this one went back. The first references to Truth or Dare. Princess Peach Slumber. I don't know, Mike. We'll get to that. We might need you to give more information on Princess Peach Slumber. But with Truth or Dare. There's a variation in the 1700s in the Victorian era called Questions and Answers. And you didn't really get an option with that one. It was just somebody would ask you a question. And if you didn't answer the question for whatever reason, there was two different things that would happen. You'd either have to follow a command, which would be what we would consider a dare today. Or you would have your face smutted, which is they would just rub dirt on your face. So
okay, I don't know what we're talking about. Are you able to see the comments, Crystal?
I can see the comments, but I can't make them show up.
Okay, they're making me so much more confused. I don't know what we're talking about, guys. That game was brutal.
King of the Mountain.
I don't know that game. I totally had a friend like that. We're still close. This girl has cut me out of her life.
But not because of that stuff. She didn't really cut you out. She just kind of went off and did her own thing.
She did. This is where I'm confused. Where Mike goes, did you ask touch on Bloody Mary Princess Peach Slumber?
What? So Bloody Mary, I understand. I asked for more information on Princess Peach Slumber because I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay. Truth or Dare could go way too far. And then Mike goes, Siri added all that extra. It's supposed to say Bloody Mary at slumber parties.
Okay. No, we have not talked about Bloody Mary yet, Mike, but she is on the list. I'm just called a game of she.
My dad just could you guys hear me?
A little bit, but not really.
Oh, my dad's all cover your mic up.
Like I heard, I mean, maybe because I was talking.
Maybe.
Because, yeah, but anyway, yeah, so we were talking about Truth or Dare. The original game was called questions and answers. And I just thought it was really fun that if you didn't answer the question, your face could be made. You could either basically get a dare or they dirty your face.
Oh, wow.
Smutting.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But it's been around since like the 1700s.
I bet it's probably around the time that trick or treat started. Because it's kind of like, give me a treat or I'll play a trick on you. So it's like, give me a dare or I'll smite your face.
I don't know. Yeah. But I know, truth or dare, I do agree that it could go really far. But I don't think we ever, and that was a game we played, not just the slumber parties. We played it on like the bus for field trips, but we never did truth. All we ever did was dare. There was no question when we played. There wasn't truth or dare. It was, Bethany, I dare you to lick your backpack. Like, there was never, like, truth was not in there. We played dare.
Lick your backpack. That's the one you chose.
I mean, I could have been like, I don't even remember who I said that to or why. It was some guy.
All I remember is my toe. Was it like Phoenix we were coming back from? First off, there was maybe one chaperone on every band trip bus. Okay, maybe one chaperone. And Crystal and I always sat in the back of the bus because that's how we roll, because that's where the fun happens. And I don't remember. I think it was one of our drum majors. The drum majors, if you're not part of band, is supposed to be like the
they're kind school. Of like conductors.
Yeah, but they're like the school police of the band. So normally they're the people who rat you out.
Because they're the leaders. They're the leaders of the
Yeah. Band. So normally they rat you out, but when they play dirty, they play dirty. All right.
Okay. So which drum major was this?
And I don't know which one. I don't remember their names.
Okay.
I just remember the one who commanded me to give him my shirt.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I remember that.
I'm so surprised you didn't say that. Because that's the only one that I remember. And I had
because he was just like super calm. He was like, Beth, give me your shirt.
Yes.
And then somebody gave you their shirt. She was not ready for the bus top.
Yes, because I never.
Your parents are watching.
Turned down a dare. But you know what? My parents know half the stuff that I did. I didn't hide stuff from my parents. I mean, unfortunately, I think half the time they thought I was joking. But yeah, no,
all true.
Exactly. Most of the stuff I told you was true. But yeah, no. So I spent probably a solid half hour, you know, no shirt in the back of the bus, but I did have my bra on. I was fully covered.
You were fully covered.
It was like a.
Oh, your dad just says he didn't know that.
I'm sorry. I should reiterate. Mom knows most of the stuff that I did.
I think I just went back to bad influence in your parents'
eyes. But I was fully covered. Oh my God. My boyfriend just texted, wow. So I don't know if he's watching my show.
You're grounded.
Well, according to my boyfriend, I am.
Oh, you're getting it from all sides.
Yeah, I know. But someone was very nice and gave me their shirt. And I never got my shirt back. I don't know who ended up with my shirt. But I ended up with someone else's shirt. I don't know.
I mean, that sounds about right. No, the one that I remember is like, I don't remember who it was, but I was just trying. I couldn't think of anything. And I was like, well, we just were marching. It was like after a competition. So I'm like, we were just marching in 100-degree heat. I bet my toe's pretty gross. Suck my toe. And it was like, I think it was gross for both of us, but he did it.
Stacy is living for this episode right now.
Yeah. So I think that's the dare that I remember the most, because it wasn't fun for anybody.
What did Mike say? We did truth or dare back in the 70s a few times. Used to be an old abandoned haunted house across the road from where we live. Dare was if you didn't answer, you had to go run into the haunted house and back out. Ooh.
How long do you have to stay in the haunted house? Because if you're just in and out, I don't feel like it's a lot. Like, you have to be in there for like,
I don't know. I don't know. Sometimes it's like the thought of doing something that's worse. Oh, I think it was Steven Seagal. He said that the anticipation of death is worse than death itself.
It's probably very true.
That's like the same thing with dares. You're like, oh, you work yourself up. And then when you do it, you're like,
I mean, I feel like that's the same. That can be said about so much in life. Like, I don't know, like moving 1,000+ miles to a place where you don't know anybody.
Exactly. Or tap dancing to your district manager. And then
I don't know like if there's any anticipation for that, but the reality might have been worse on that one.
All right, Mike clarifies. He goes in the front door, through the house, out the back door, and around the yard, and back out to the front. That's actually quite a lot. That was very descriptive.
That's a good dare. I like
that. That is a very good dare.
We didn't have a good haunted house in my neighborhood growing up. That makes me sad.
No, we didn't have a haunted house, but I remember it was me and, do you remember Lindsay? Okay, so Lindsay, we were like the first homes in this place called the Villages of La Cañada. And we were the only homes in this village. And so when I was growing up during this time period, a lot of houses were being built. And so we would play, like, as more neighborhood kids would come in, we would play, like, not even capture the flag. It was like tag. Like, that's what it was. In, like, deconstructed houses, like houses that were still being constructed. So there's like nails and saws and like very
totally safe
for kids.
Totally safe.
And I just remember at one point, now, I mean, I was the chunky kid, so I did not move very fast. And I was always it because everyone could easily get me. And I remember at one point I was not it. And I was like, I'm not going to be it. And I just remember some like, oh, is this guy Steven? His name was like Steven Stevenson. I remember that. Because it was such a
cool
name.
Why do people do that to their kids? Like, there was another kid. I don't want to name names and have people going around looking at them. But there was another kid that had a similar name that we went to school with. And it's like, why do you, like, this is already their last name. Why are you making that their first name too?
I know, Steven
Stevenson. Like, you're just asking for kids to be mean.
Yeah, and I knew a John Johnson. I was like, oh, God, you poor child. But I just remember that guy, Steven, and he was chasing me. And I was like, not today. And I ran like my little fat kid heart out. And I like leapt over this brick wall. But what I did not know is that the brick wall on my side was only like 4 feet tall. The brick wall on the other side was much larger. And I went down hard.
That's accurate.
Like, I just remember going over and I was like, yeah, oh no. And like, bam. And then I rolled and then I kept running. And I don't know how I didn't hurt myself. It was by the grace of God.
Kids
and
are somehow, resilient.
Yeah. Especially when you have pride. You're like, not today. I will not be caught. This chubby girl's going to get home.
I'm not going to be it today.
Exactly.
God is my witness.
And I was not it that day. I was limping the next day, but I was not it that day. Mike says it was really creepy. There's furniture, appliances everywhere, and still in there, just like someone had been doing a tour through it and left it. It's been empty for at least 10 years at the point. That's pretty creepy.
It always is weird to me when like people just leave everything behind. Like,
yeah,
there has to be a story there.
Exactly.
Like, why did you just leave everything behind? And it definitely makes it way creepier for the, maybe that's why they did it, to make it creepier for the neighborhood kids.
You know, I feel like we would be those type of people.
Oh, I 100% would be.
Yeah. Be like, you know what? I'm not going to take anything. I'm just going to leave this because I know some kids are going to go through my house and dare each other.
It's going to turn into the haunted house. I'm just going to leave. It's the same thing as like when you're like, oh, I'm doing renovations. Let me just stick this prop skeleton in the wall.
Just to freak out the contractor. Oh my goodness. Well, let's talk about another game. And that is, I think it's the most classic campfire camp slumber party game ever. But that is the Ouija board.
Yes.
I think that is the most hands down classic, whether you made your own Ouija board or you tried to talk to the spirits or you used it. I don't know.
Seance. I feel like seance is on the same level.
Seances. Yeah, pretty much.
Andy's ready for a Ouija board. I'm sorry.
He is. Oh my
gosh. I can't ignore him.
As long as he doesn't do what he did on the last episode where he literally crashed through, not this episode. But if you guys missed it, I was on a panel with Weird Awakenings, and we talked with my amazing nephew Zachary on his really book fun. He came out with on becoming a master manifester. So if you haven't watched it, go watch it. It's a really good episode. Halfway through, Indy apparently decided, like Crystal said, he wanted to manifest himself being a star of the show, and he crashed through, closed my camera, attacked us. So. Mike says, never going to happen in my house. My sister, buddy, Ouija board one time. Oh, brought a Ouija board one time, brought it home. My mother threw it in the trash and banned it from her having in the house ever again. That is a good mother right there.
To use it.
No, I applaud that mother. She was like, not today, Satan. And like threw that Ouija board away. So
yeah, Ouija boards are, they're crazy.
You don't mess with those things.
Yeah. I've never had anything happen to me with a Ouija board, but I've heard some stories.
Never mind that.
Yeah, but I've definitely heard some stories, and it's, I think that one really goes back. I mean, that kind of like divination type stuff, it goes back really far, but I think like the Ouija board specifically is like 1800s, 1900s, like when spiritualism was a really big thing. And everybody was into the spiritualism and seances.
Ouija board. I don't see a date on. Oh, 1886.
I actually listened to a podcast episode about Ouija boards earlier today.
Really?
Yeah.
Think of that. Think of that time. 1886. That's almost 140 years ago.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah. Nobody alive. The people who first used Ouija boards can use Ouija boards now on the
other side. It can be on the other end now. Yeah. It can totally be on the other end now. But yeah, it's just like the whole like spiritualism, is there life after death? And then there's always, I feel like anytime the Ouija board comes out, almost always there's a fight. You're pushing the planchette. No, I'm not. You are.
Yeah, that's it. Mike goes, we grew up in the late 60s and 70s. Exorcist came out, Damien, Omen, and many other movies of that. I know. Those movies, like, okay, when I was younger, I would watch them. I'm just fine. But now that I'm a little older, I'm like, I don't want that in my house. Like, I'll watch it maybe sometimes. I don't know. I get a little iffy on them.
Oh, I still watch them. I'm like, I can't sleep. I'm going to turn on The Exorcist.
Yeah. Like, well, maybe it's because I got the girls half the time. And it's kind of sad because... Well, it's not sad. Like, they're totally fine. But they know every time they come into the room that I'm watching TV, they're like, are you watching one of your scary shows? Like, they
have to, like, check before they
exactly. They preclude coming into the room because they know I'm probably watching something they don't want.
Yeah. I would have been the opposite at their age. I would have been like, oh, you're watching something scary? Can I watch?
Yeah. I remember at our two-story, and I don't know, Crystal, if you remembered, but we used to have stairs that would go, I'm trying to see, they would go down, and there was a platform, and then the rest would go down.
You mean the stairs that I literally slid down on my back the entire way? Yeah, I remember.
Probably. Very probably. Or that my brothers kicked the hamster ball down, and it was all, yeah. Poor Swift. He's a good hamster.
I'm like, I definitely remember those stairs because one day I was walking down them and my foot just flew out from under me and I went, and then I got down to the platform, stood up, tried to go down the rest of the stairs. I don't know if I was wearing extra slippery socks that day or what.
Nope.
Same thing happened. Just whoop.
That was us. But no, I used to sit there and watch on the little, like on the little platform, I'd look through the little bars like they were jail cell and I would watch whenever my dad would watch a movie. My mom didn't know my dad was watching the movie at the time. And I would watch the movie like Terminator 2, I think, when he would turn into all the things. I thought that was like really cool. Stacy says, I love when the Ghost Adventure crew use the Ouija board. And then dad goes, he goes, I hated The Devil's Advocate. That one wasn't really a horror movie though.
No, it was just kind of, but speaking of slumber party games and Stacy and Ghost Adventures, she and I created a Ghost Adventures drinking game. That's a
great game.
And then my brother said we weren't allowed to play it anymore.
Oh, gosh. He was just jealous.
I think, well, let's just say we had two rules. It only took one episode to get through like three wine bottles between the two.
Oh, no. What were the rules?
So I do not recommend playing this game. Let me just put that out there for liability purposes. It's not a good game to play. Drink every time one of them says dude or bro. And drink every time they cuss.
Yep.
Those are the only rules you need.
That's basically, yeah, that will definitely stay because I guess.
Yeah.
And I feel like DEF CON.
I think it was a really good slumber party game.
I feel like this comment can go towards pretty much anything we talked about tonight. Just creepy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But
so, well, we're getting kind of close to the end right there. Did you have any other games you wanted to talk about real quick?
Well, just, we do want to touch on Bloody Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Which, for anybody that doesn't know Bloody Mary, you go into the bathroom. This one you have to have a mirror. Well, actually I played it once without a mirror, but we'll talk about that later. So typically basic rules, you go into a bathroom, no lights are on, can't have any windows that are letting light in, you're in a mirror and you say Bloody Mary three times. That varies. Some versions have it up to 13 times. Mm-hmm. And Bloody Mary is supposed to appear in the mirror. And attack you. That's pretty much the basics of it.
So. Which I feel is like hands down one of the most scary games to play because at one point you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it scary. You're not playing with other people. You are by yourself.
And you're playing a game. The whole basis of the game is that this ghost, you're summoning a ghost
mm-hmm.
that is violent and is going to attack you. And you're alone.
Exactly. And you're like, ha, 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 I can do it. And then you get in there and you're like, oh, my goodness.
You're like, can I just say I did it and pretend?
Exactly. Well, on that note, I believe that's what we're going to talk about on our next episode is yeah. Bloody Mary.
Yeah. So we're deep diving into the slumber party game of all slumber party games.
Yes. The ultimate slumber party game that has prompted so many episodes in different shows. It has its own movie, I think, right?
Pretty sure the movie has a sequel.
Well, I'm gonna have to watch those. All right, so watch Bloody Mary, watch the sequel, read up on your history on Bloody Mary, and Crystal and I are definitely going to talk about that on our next episode, which is going to be 2 weeks from today. I'm so excited. I feel like we've been kind of waiting a little bit on Bloody Mary, but I was like, I want to do it. It's like the beginning of summer. Let's start it. Let's do it. Let's dive into it.
Yeah, I agree.
It'll be fun.
I think it'll be fun. If you have any variations of Bloody Mary that you want mm-hmm. us to talk about, definitely there's a lot of that game definitely has a lot of variations on it as well. So definitely let us know and we'll look into your variations and make sure we talk about those as well.
Absolutely. And if anyone wants to be a guest, let us know. You know, we're always down to having guests on the show. Brandy, unfortunately, tonight wasn't able to make it, but we're basically counting her as an honorary co-host because she's on so many of our episodes.
Yeah. When she can be, she's here. So hopefully she'll be able to join us for Bloody Mary.
Exactly. No, understandable. Stacey thoroughly enjoyed the show.
I think this is definitely the episode I've laughed the most.
It is.
Embarrassed myself the most.
Yeah. I have some explaining to do to my parents later, but
I really think I just got back on their bad list after this episode. We're not gonna be allowed to talk to each other.
Right. We're grounded from the podcast. All right, guys. Well, we will see you in we'll talk later. Well, everyone, it was good spending time with you, and we will definitely talk in 2 weeks about Bloody Mary, and I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode of Blondes, Books, and Campfire Tales.
Have a good night, everyone.
Bye.